The scripture this morning comes from Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
Now, today we're talking about obedience and the difference it makes in our lives and the lives of those people around us. Now, if we want to be living on crumbly ground, then we do our own thing. But if we will trust and obey, it makes all the difference. After all, the Lord God Almighty is the one who created everything. He sees everything. He knows everything. And so if we allow Him to guide our lives and make Him the firm foundation, then it makes a big difference. You know, just a reminder, we've been doing a sermon series where we've been looking to know and do the will of God. And we've based it on the Bible study, Experiencing God. And in Experiencing God, there are seven realities that we've been stepping through. And today we've made it to the seventh and the final reality. But let's go through and step through the different ones just to kind of refresh ourselves. The first one is that God is always at work around you. The second one is that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. Number three is that God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. Number four is God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit through Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. The fifth one is that God's invitation for you to work with Him always leads to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. Number six is that you must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what He is doing. And finally, the seventh one for today is you come to know God by experience as you obey. And as you obey Him, He accomplishes His work through you. You know, God gave us free will. So let's be honest, we don't really have to obey. But when we don't, we miss out on what God has for us. We miss out on experiencing Him and knowing His blessings. And so I want to begin by asking you a question. Why do you think God commands us to do things? Have you ever thought about that? Do you think He's just a big bully? He likes to control things? You know, if that were true, He didn't have to give us free will. He could just force us to do whatever He wants, and we would just be puppets. But that wasn't His intent when He had created us in the first place. He created us so that He could have a relationship with us. You know, God commands us and instructs us and guides us because He wants the very best for us. He wants us to know His love and to really experience Him. And it's just like a parent. You know, if you think about a parent and a child, and a parent telling the child not to go out in the street and play in the street, do you think that parent's only doing that because they're a spoilsport and they want to mess up all the child's fun time? Or do you think it's because that parent really loves that child and really cares for them? And it's the same way with God. And in fact, in Jeremiah 7, verse 23, he says, I gave them this command, obey me and I will be your God and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. He wants the best for us. So if God's trying to protect us and provide for us and bless us, then why do we not obey? Now that's a good question. In fact, Paul asked that same question. In Romans 7, verse 15, he said, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. So, why do we not obey God? It doesn't really make sense. If He wants the best for us, then why do we not go along with what is the best for us? You know, I really think maybe it's because we're short-sighted. You know, maybe we're not thinking ahead and thinking how, since God really wants the best for us, if we would allow Him to guide us and if we really obeyed and did what He wanted, in the long run, it would be good for us. And you might think that it's because we're self-centered, but, you know, even if we're self-centered, if we would think ahead, we'd realize that many of the things that we want to do are against God, and they're not the best thing for us. So we're not really looking ahead at what's best. And Jesus simply says it this way in John 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You know, it's that simple that if we just, you know, love Him, we would do what He wants. But do we love God? I mean, think about it. If it's a matter of honoring Him with our obedience, and in honesty, do we love ourselves? Because if the best thing for us is to obey God, then do we even love ourselves? You know, Judy read us the passage in Luke 6, about the houses, one built on rock and the other one built on sand. And I have a confession. When I always thought about this story, I thought of it more along with the children's song about, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. You know that one. And so I always took that more as a construction song, that it was good advice as to how to build and that we needed a firm foundation. And that all made sense, and I knew the firm foundation was God. But to be honest, what I really thought is that just meant we need to believe in God. And it's more than that. It's more than that. The verse right before talking about building the house on rock is where Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 47, I will show you what He is like, who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. In other words, he hears what God is telling him to do, and he obeys. And so his house and his life is stronger. You know, when we don't obey God, we miss out. We miss out on all that God wants us to experience, what He wants to give us. We miss out on a strong, beautiful life. And instead, we're trying to do it on our own. And it doesn't work out that way when we do that. And so we really need to decide, you know, is Jesus going to be Lord of our lives? And if so, we need to treat Him as the Lord of our life. And in fact, the verse right before this says, verse 46, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know, either you believe that God is God and you treat Him as God and you let Jesus be the Lord of your life, or you're just doing it on your own. And it means obedience in everything. You know, it's not enough just to show up in church on Sunday and then all the rest of the week not obey God. I mean, that's foolish for us to think that it's okay to work like that. God wants our obedience in all things. And to be honest, there is a parallel passage to that verse that I just read and to this story that is in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's one of the most frightening verses to me in Scripture. It's Matthew 7, verse 21. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." In other words, that one's telling you the consequences of not obeying. So it's not just a matter of free will. I decide if I want to and I don't want to and God doesn't care. God cares. And we can decide with that free will, but there are consequences when we don't obey. The other day I kind of stumbled on a passage in Jeremiah 37, and it was talking about King Zedekiah. And it made this statement that, you know, neither the king nor his attendants nor any of the people in the land listened to the words of God. And then just a little bit later, they were in trouble, and they were asking for prayers and praying that God would save them. And the striking thing of that is I started thinking, do we do the same thing? Do we just kind of not pay attention to God's commandments and do whatever we want to? Do we forget that the vows that we made to God when we joined the church to support it with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness? Do we ignore His guidance on a daily basis? And then when we get into trouble, when that crisis hits, when that difficulty comes, when that financial problem comes, when our marriage is on the rocks, when a child is sick, then do we run back to Him and pray? And think, oh, that should be enough? You know, if you love God, you obey Him. If He is Lord of your life, you obey Him. You know, and sometimes we don't always understand why God might be asking us to do something. But we trust that God always has our best interests. God always wants the very best for us. And we can't see everything, but we know He loves us more than anyone else could ever love us. And it's unconditional, and He wants the best for us. And so we trust and we obey even when we don't understand. I heard a wonderful story about a man who had a dream. And he dreamed that the Lord came to him and said, you know, "Will you do my work for me?" And the man said, "Yes." And so the Lord said, "I want you to push against this rock." And so every day the man would go out, and with all of his might, he would push against this huge rock. And he would just really put his shoulder into it. And with all of his strength all day long, from sunrise to sunset, he would push on that rock. And he'd come back home exhausted. And then he'd go back out the next day. And he was trying to be obedient to God. But after a long time, he was really kind of getting a little bit frustrated. And Satan could see that doubt was sitting in. And when Satan sees there's a little bit of doubt, then he kind of gets in there and tries to make a little bit more. And so Satan started planting some thoughts in his head like, you know, why kill yourself over this? You'll never move that rock. You're never going to be able to do that. And so sure enough, the man started thinking, yeah, why should I kill myself over this? You know, I can't move this. This is way too big. And so at first he thought, I'm just going to kind of slough off and I won't push quite as hard. But then he decided to take his troubles to the Lord. And so he went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, you asked me to do your work. And I told you that I would. And I've been working hard and toiling and pushing and giving it all my strength and all my might to do what you told me to do. But Lord, I can't move that rock. I haven't even moved it a half of a millimeter. why am I failing at this? And the Lord said, you know, I invited you to join me in my work. And you've been pushing hard on that rock. But never once did I tell you to move the rock. My instruction was to push. And that's what you've done. And now look at yourself. Look at your muscles. Look at your back. Look at the strength in your legs. You know, you did what I told you to do, and you pushed. And I never intended for you to move it by yourself, but I will move it for you now. You have done well. Well done, good and faithful servant. You see, often we get confused thinking what God's called us to do is some type of result. And what God is really calling us to is obedience. To just obey Him. And He'll take care of the results. Just obey. And when we obey, we draw closer to the Lord. When we're faithful, we're in a closer relationship with the Lord. And as we're more obedient, there's more of an experience who God really is. I want to point out one final thing in our memory verse for this week. The first part of it is similar to one that I just showed you in John 14:15, where it talks about the obedience that anyone who loves Jesus will obey. But what I want you to pay attention to is the second part of it, where it says, "My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." See, that second part is the result. But that result is what God does. He wants us to do the first part, the obedience. So when we are obedient, we have a chance to work with God. We have a chance to live with God, and we have a chance to experience Him. But that's only through obedience. Amen. Let's pray. Glorious God, forgive us for the times when we have not been obedient. And help us just to really be more sensitive, Lord, to really think these things out and think about why You're calling us to do things. And that it really is for our best, that You love us so much that You want the best for us, and help us to be faithful to You, to be obedient, to do what You want. And we know, Lord, if we do, it will make such a difference in our lives and the lives of those around us. And most of all, Lord, You've called us to follow You in all that You do so that we can serve You and give You our very best. May we honor You with our lives. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.